And let's go over to John chapter 6. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Sometimes we have new people, and this is a time that we use for Bible study, if you will. And it's very important to us. I'm going to work on expanding this Wednesday night service. I want us to have a full house on Wednesday night. That's how important I think the Word of God is. Okay, All right, let's just look at this. Now, we've read this sometime before, but I want you to see something here. One of the things that I have in a mission statement about Bill Winston Ministries is through the teaching, preaching, and demonstration of the Word of God, we can bring people off of the dependency of another system and bring them over into depending on the kingdom of God. Now that's a mouthful. I mean, it sounds very simple, but it is absolutely profound. That is, if you learn to do that, you're ready for Jesus to come. I mean, that's how much I think that weighs in terms of God's plan for you and you getting into His plan. Because you're here as a world changer. And you can't change a world you're dependent on. That's kind of like a nicotine person with a nicotine habit trying to cast out a demon of smoking. You know. You have no faith for it. And so my point to you is that God showed me some things. And we're teaching on the blessing on Sunday. Are you getting something out of that blessing teaching? I think that, like I said, He's never led me that deep before in the blessing. And it is profound. You will see that with this blessing, it is only activated by faith. It is only activated by faith. And the blessing is so awesome, so powerful, until I don't have words to describe it. Because it is the same power God used to bring all matter into being. To create this earth, He released a blessing to do it. Then He takes that blessing and puts it on a man. Watch this. And it's not but one blessing. It's not three or four. Well, you say, well, wait a minute. How can I be blessed and have the blessing and He have the blessing too? Because you're one. You're not two. You just think you're two. You're one body. And the blessing is only one blessing. You remember what Esau did? Esau went in after Jacob got blessed by Isaac, his father. And Esau said, you have another blessing. And what was the answer to that? No. No. And Esau had not only the authority to pronounce that blessing, but he knew that once he did, he couldn't take it back. Now, that blessing is worth much more than $1 trillion. Amen. I'm teaching on the blessing here now. The one thing that the blessing will do for you, it will create for you, bring to you or bring you to whatever you have need of without toil, without any struggle. Can I show you something here? I didn't mean to talk on this, but that blessing is all up in me now. And the more you meditate it now, the more it changes. And I'll talk about that in a minute when we get into our message. But look at Genesis and chapter 39 and then chapter 45. I started to have just a question and answer tonight on the blessing. Look at Genesis chapter 39, but you're still getting to know how important it is. So I'll wait that. I'll let it sink in a little bit more first. Look at Genesis chapter, I said 39, didn't I? Make it 37. Genesis 37. Okay, so Joseph has a dream. Then his father put a coat on him. And, well, let me say it. Let me reverse the order. His father put a coat on him, then Joseph had a dream. Look what it says here in verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was estranged, in the land of Canaan. And there are the generations of Jacob, Jacob being 17 years old. Come down to verse 3. And Israel, notice it switched. It called him Israel. Now, when I see a switch like that, it means that I'm going into Revelation. So by revelation, he had something inside that told him there's something special on Joseph. And Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now, come all the way over here and look at, so he dreamed. He dreamed a dream, told it to his brothers. His brothers got angry and so forth. Then they're going to kill him at first. And then they decide to put him in a pit. They put him in a pit. And look what it says here in verse 28. And there passed by Midianite merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. So these are businessmen transacting a deal, but they're buying and selling people. So they bought him, took him down to Egypt. All right, now look at, oh, by the way, verse 31, and they took Joseph's coat. So right there, Satan is after the blessing. Is this exciting enough?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Way over. Coming over. Now, this is after Joseph was raised up, because the blessing is going to raise you up. Say, the blessing is going to raise me up. I'm telling you, folks, even if you try to do something to make it happen, you just delay it. That's how much. See, faith demands that God do it. It demands that he do it. When you participate in it, I told you in marrying my wife, when I first, you know, saw her, I mean, when I first saw her, the Barry White music began to play. Nah, just kidding. But I first saw her, I said, man, I told my friend, who is that? He said, that's Veronica, man. You don't want to know her. She's too religious. I said, oh, okay. So I, you know, talked to her a couple of times and so forth. Every time I did, something just kind of went off on me inside. And then this friend of mine, you know, kind of Holy Ghost filled guy, you know, and you know how they are. Sometimes they can't talk to you without going off into tongues. But anyway, so I told him about it. Yeah, I'm praying. And he said, God is telling me to tell you, don't touch it. Right. What is he saying? He said, now the blessing is going to do this. See, I'm putting all this together now because I'm telling you, this blessing is so big. See, faith activates the blessing, and faith demands that God be your only source. One more time. Faith activates the blessing, but faith demands that God be your only source. See? By grace are you saved how? Through faith. See, if you did something to make you get saved, then you got to check that. All right, but look what he says here. Now, he was taken down, a traveling band of Ishmaelites came along. Am I right about it? All right, they bought Jacob and then brought him down to Egypt, and Potiphar bought him. All right, now look at, Joseph, please. But look how Joseph explains this now. All right, so in verse 1 of chapter 45, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried and caused every man to go from me, to go out from me. Let me look on the board. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Now his brothers are kind of fearful of him because they're the ones that sold him. So they think he's going to get revenge. But you can't get revenge with the blessing. You can't do that. There's something called justice that God will get, but you can't be to get in your heart to get revenge is a kingdom of darkness principle. Okay? Watch this. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Wow. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, and I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Oh, boy, they'd say, oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve your life. God did that. See, the blessing is the source, and faith is the resource. They often call God the blessed one. See, it's the anointing. And so it's doing all the work, because the Ishmaelites just didn't happen to come along. If it was left up to them, they'd have taken another route. But the blessing brought them by there. See, it does all the work. Lord, you're getting up. Want you to see this, folks. This is the greatest piece of revelation I have had since January 1st. Now, look, I have you here at John chapter 6, but look at Luke chapter 5 again. Now look at it in terms of the blessing doing the work. Okay? All right, let's put Luke chapter 5, verse 1. All right? And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Okay? And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. He prayed him that he thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, now launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, I shared with you one other translation says, let down your nets and you will catch a lot of fish. See, a little bit different. One of them is let down your net. What did you say? Let down your put it up there on the board, please. He said, and launch out into the deep and let, the previous verse, please. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. That's not as demonstrative as the let down your nets and you will catch a lot of fish. Are you following what I'm saying? Because the blessing demands that you release the blessing. You have to speak it, Lord Jesus. See, he said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and what? Cursing. Therefore, choose life. See, you got to speak life. Okay? So let down your net, you catch a lot of fish. See, a lot of people don't want to say it because they think they have to prove it. You don't have to prove it. You just say it. And that's the power of the blessing. I told my wife, we were up there, we were trying to get out of this house, we were staying with Sister Beverly, and I said, hey, God said, declare what you want. That's what he said to me. Now he's activating the blessing. I said, okay, we'll be moving in 7 days. Didn't I, baby? We'll be moving in 7 days. Then on the sixth day, I said, baby, we'll be moving in 6 days. Friday, the fifth day came, I said, baby, we'll be moving in 5 days. Now, who's working on this? The blessing, see, I want you to get, I know God is working on it, but he used the blessing to bring all material things into manifestation, man. I'm saying that the blessing will do your homework. It's designed to take all the toil out of everything because that's what the system of the world does. It works you to the point that you're fatigued and tired and irritable and don't want to get along with your husband and your wife and whatever. All right? And so that, somehow I was pulled into that. I don't know. Okay? So launch in the deep and you'll catch a lot of fish. Look at the next verse. And then Peter says this, Master, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I let down the net. Okay? Now, when he had done this, he enclosed a great multitude of fish in the net break. When are you supposed to let down the net in an environment that you catch fish with a net? At night, and I have seen it. We have been one time, we were in Hawaii or somewhere, and I saw them that morning dragging the net. That's what they call it. They're pulling in these huge net, and the nets have fish in them. Fish are jumping. But he said, let down your net, and you catch a lot of fish. Boom, he lets it down. As soon as he lets it down, the fish went in there to such force that they broke it. They broke it. And then he called for his partners. Now, they didn't break theirs because the thought is that Peter had an older net. You know, he didn't think that thing was going to quite work. He didn't want to go wash another net. He just take that old one. But my point to you is, did he work? Yes, he worked. But how did he work? Without toil. He worked on another level. See, you can do your homework, but do it on another level. See, it doesn't make any difference what it is, because for you to have mental toil, fatigue, and all of that is working on the lower level. See, that's why Abraham lived 175 years. Well, you ain't doing no work. You can probably live longer. And my point to you is you're working on another level. You got to see it. You're working on the level of your mouth. You're working on the level of the blessing, see? And you were fit. You were meant to act like God. God, when it was time for him to work, he spoke.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the Bible said when God finished his work, he's trying to get you to work on the same level. But the blessing is the thing that brought all material things into manifestation. Now, he put that blessing on you. Now, just look how David used that blessing in war. He said, God teaches my hand to war. So, and that's Psalm 144, verse 1. Put it up there on the board. Psalm 141, verse 1. See, David didn't have all this skill before he met Goliath. I mean, you know, he said, blessed be the Lord, my strength. Okay. Psalm 1. Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay. He teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. What is he saying? He said one way, this way. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, Joseph didn't know anything about ranch management. But when Potiphar put him over there, all of a sudden he knew. And this is the black, because you're not operating at the level of a human. You're operating at the level of God. I'm not trying to get you to go to movies, but I went to see this movie when it first came out called Matrix. Matrix. And I remember the lady came and they were headed to a helicopter. And he said, do you know how to fly a helicopter? She said, I'll know in just a minute. She dialed up the number, put a helicopter in her mind, boom. She said, yeah, let's go. And she flew the helicopter. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that Matrix thing had some stuff in it, if you don't know. You know, I'm not talking about Matrix Reloaded and all that. All that, that had the wrong spirit in it, just like this Star Wars thing. But it had a different spirit to it, see, because some different people tried to produce it. But you couldn't reproduce that first Matrix. That was a revelation. But anyway, so, I'm going to see that. No, it's out now. It's gone, been gone for years, 20 years ago. Okay, now, where am I? The blessing. So notice, the blessing brought the merchant men by. See, the blessing taught Joseph how to manage Potiphar's ranch. I'm helping you now. We got to enter into this before Jesus comes. So it doesn't make any difference what country you're in, what color you are, what background you have. You can enter into a place where you can go to work at something you've never worked at before. See? And it takes you around all the toil that it took to get there. And it's going to make some people mad because they paid a whole lot of money for those degrees. And all of a sudden, you're going to come and know how to do it better than they are? Ooh. How we doing? Doing okay? Are y'all following me now? And if you can now take that blessing, now what do you do with it? Watch this. You got to take it because right, the first thing you do is mentally assent to it. That's what we do. We hear something and mentally assent to it. That's why you can say, praise the Lord, see? But when it comes time for it working in your life, there's no evidence. And the reason why there's no evidence is because it's not worked its way down into your heart yet. See, amen? It says with the heart you have to believe. And so it's going to work its way. Now watch this. I want you to get this. Once it works its way down there, you're going to see stuff start happening for you that you didn't even pray about. Am I going too far?
No.
Okay. I'm telling you, it's going to start bringing stuff to you. Now, that's why I say with my teachings, you just can't listen to this part one time, man. Amen. I tell you, I got stuff I listen to for 25 times. I mean, just every time I come, I have my recorder, you know, all over the house, really. I have one here and one there. And I put that thing on here from track 4 to track 9 again. Here, track 4 to track 9 again. Because I know what I got to get in my system. And when you get it in there, your spirit does the work. See, that's the real you. Isn't that fun? All right, so let's go back to, where was I? No, wait a minute. Did you follow me with all these fish coming in, breaking this net? You got what I'm saying? Now, what did he have to do now for material things, abundance to come to him? What did he have to do as something preliminary to make the harvest come in like that. He had to sow a seed. What seed did he sow?
His boat.
His boat seed. He followed the command of Jesus. Can I use your boat?
Yes.
Got it? So Jesus, he knows, oh, I'm telling you, this blessing will do everything for you. But see, once you get into this zone, ooh, I like that. Once you get into this zone, I like that sign, men at work. These are angels at work in this zone. And look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. See, once you get into this zone, check this out. Here's what he said. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not what?
Grievous.
That means heavy. Watch this. Burdensome. Watch this. Hard to do. Mm-mm. Because that'll make you toil again. So he'll just tell you, turn right. Mm. Boom. Here come blessings. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, it's almost that easy. It's almost that easy because there's no toil. See, he wants you to be happy 24/7. This is not like you in the world and drink some juice and get happy. This is you know, this is when you're happy all the time. Because watch this, you were designed to live in heaven's atmosphere. Watch this. And joy is a serious business of heaven.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
Now work that through your Noah. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes,
I'm just saying, once you get into this, watch, your whole disposition changes.
Amen.
You don't be screaming anymore. You know, you're not sad looking. You've been surprised. I'm up here. I have to keep myself happy. Because if I look at some of these faces, I mean, I just break down. You can't have no church with the pastors crying. No. But see, I got to get this blessing in them. When it gets in a man and you know that nobody can hold back your promotion and you know, come on, that you're going to have enough money for anything you ever come in contact with. You know, I'm telling you now, the blessing knows it. It works for you. It does everything.
Amen.
In fact, it brings you to honor. Boy, that's good right there, isn't it? Give the Lord a praise. That's all I have. Now, I saw where we were a little bit short on our trip to South Africa. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, now let's look here at Ephesians and Ephesians chapter 6. I'll start reading here at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having all done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Spiritual warfare. All right, let's come back and deal with something here that I think I was studying, and this came to mind, and I said, well, let me go back and make sure that I cover this. And let's go back to Mark's Gospel chapter 1. And in Mark's Gospel chapter 1, I'm going to start reading here at verse 14. Now after that, John was put in prison, and Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. All right, so he's saying here that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. So one of the reasons why Jesus came is to reintroduce the kingdom. To reintroduce the kingdom. Now what had happened? What had happened is that Satan had set up his kingdom in the earth. And Jesus taught on that. And he said, looking at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. And I'm just going to just go through these scriptures rather quickly. So just look up them on a board or write them down, because I want to make sure I finish here. He said in verse 24, but when the Pharisees had heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Beelzebub means the Lord of the flies. If you know anything about a fly, yeah, flies are on stuff and in something, and you fan them away and they just come right back, you know. And look what he said in verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not what? Stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his what? Kingdom stand. All right? Well, Jesus said something in John's gospel, in John chapter 18. Excuse me. He says in John chapter 18, and I'll start reading at verse 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. And if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So he is saying that there is a kingdom that he's bringing, but this kingdom is not of this world. Now, Daniel chapter 2 talks about the coming of that kingdom. And in Daniel chapter 2, like I said, I've covered this before, but some people have never heard this, and I just want to make sure that we get it in their thinking, because it's very, very key. In Daniel chapter 2, this is when the king, Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream, and so they couldn't interpret it, but he had to call Daniel in, and Daniel began to interpret it. And he began to talk about, in verse 31, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. And this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of gold, of fine gold, and the breast and his arms of silver, and his belly and his thighs of brass, and his legs of iron, and his feet part iron and part clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, and that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, what is he describing there? He describes the coming of the kingdom of God. And the coming of the kingdom of God says this kingdom is going to topple every other kingdom. And this kingdom, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, he says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign how long? Forever and ever. Right? So he's talking about this new kingdom. Now, there are some things about this new kingdom that make the culture of this kingdom different than the kingdom you and I were born into at first. Because this new kingdom, you got to be born into it. You can't buy your way into it or slip in the back door. You got to be born into it. Now, not only are you born into it, but God puts it in you. So the whole kingdom is in each one of us. If you can get your mind around that. All right. Now, we then have a whole new kingdom to depend on. And Jesus said, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what will happen? Everything you need will be added to you. Why? Because it's all in the kingdom. His kingdom. Now, his kingdom is invisible. So therefore, it operates by faith. So true enough, one day it will be visible. That it says in Revelation that the kingdom, that the city of God will come down and sit on the earth. That's his kingdom. It will be seen physically. But right now, it's in the spirit realm, and the way you and I manifest portions of that kingdom is by faith. All right. Now, in this kingdom, it is sovereign. It is sovereign. In other words, and this is the point I want to make to you, you don't vote in this kingdom. There's no voting. In fact, if you look at Matthew's gospel and chapter 13, he mentions a word here, and you can just carry this one with you. Verse 19, and when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. The word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom. Another way of saying that, the word of the king. The word of the king. All right, now, let me show you the word of the king. Look at Daniel again in chapter 6. And this is a picture of the word of the king. He said in Daniel chapter 6, and I'll start reading here, where Daniel was being raised up. Let me just tell you about it. And so now it says in verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents and the kingdom and governors and the princes and counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. More. And therefore King Darius signed into writing the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went up into his house, and his window being open, and his chamber toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled up on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Wow. Now, I want you to see this verse 8, because he said the king decree was signed in writing that it be not changed. according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter it not. Now that was the government. So the government issued a law from where? Washington, D.C. Now, I'm just putting it, okay? So here's the law from Washington, see? They got the government to issue a law throughout the whole kingdom. Now, this is different from the law that states may make, or a law that municipalities may make. They can make some of their sub-laws. And why? Because they have to better govern their jurisdiction. Now, I'm getting somewhere. I'm saying that all this has got to do with the authority. So we're talking about authority. The name of this is taking your authority. All right? So in the Roman Senate, do kings or rulers come from whatever districts or whatever local governing communities that they're assigned to? They come in, and Caesar is the emperor. And all of them are senators. And they are receiving from this body laws that they would go back out to their jurisdiction and enforce that law. See, everything has to conform to that law. Now, you got to hear me what I'm saying. All right, so you remember Pilate and you remember Herod? That they had two different jurisdictions. There was busy shipping Jesus back and forth to each of them jurisdiction because they had two different jurisdictions, see? And my point to you is that God assigns you a jurisdiction. And nothing should go on in that jurisdiction without your compliance. Nothing should go on in that area without your, what's the word I'm looking for? Approval. Nothing should go on. In fact, if something does jump off, whatever you bind, see, in that jurisdiction. Now, understand that you are not by yourself, because it'll be different if a policeman was out there in the middle of town and he's by himself with a uniform on, but he didn't have anything behind him. In other words, there was no precinct behind him. There was no headquarters behind him. There was no legal system behind him. He's just out there. And you say, hey, get off the street. Get out of the street, man. Why? Because he didn't have any authority. See, he's in his own authority. Well, with his own authority, he doesn't have any authority. The best thing he's got is, you know, a little six shooter on his side, but that ain't got but six bullets in it, and that won't hold much. Are you following what I'm saying? But in the real world, the police can stand there and tell you stop in the name of the law, and you have to stop. The reason why you stop, because you know he can if you run through it, he can radio. And he can radio some boys on down the street here, and they can chase you down. Come on now. Because he's not alone. He is a man under authority. And as long as he's under authority, he's got authority over him. And so when you speak, you've got to have in your belief system the fact that Satan has, he knows you're not by yourself. See, if he, he knows if you know the authority that you have. So you're not there by yourself, whatever you bind. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Let's put it up there and just look at it. Look what it says. He says this, "Verily, verily, verily, I say unto you," this is Jesus talking, "whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Okay. "Again, I say unto you, if two of you on earth," no, "if two of you shall agree on earth." See, he's, this is a part, "if two of you shall agree on earth." Now, if you look at that, that's back in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, if you take somebody to court, you got to have somebody that also agrees with you before the court will take action. Okay, so if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be what? Carried out for them of who? My Father, which is in heaven. Now, you know the Father's not going to get up off the throne. So he's got angels, he's got all of that to back you. This is very important, folks, because you remember down in Acts chapter 19. Look at that, Acts chapter 19. Over in Acts chapter 19, he said this. Look, this is, I'll look here starting at verse 13. "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus, I know, come on, Paul, I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." Now that's what a demon did to them. Now why could that demon do that to them? Because they weren't under authority. They didn't have the authority to manage that jurisdiction. That whole principle was not in them. They were trying to imitate Bill Winston. Are you following me? I'm not trying to just put myself in it. I'm just saying, you can't imitate anybody in this business. You can get away with that in the world, but you can't get away with that in the spirit. Okay? So you, and what people try to do is they try to fall into positions of ministering, but they're not under authority. And so therefore, you don't see any results. You don't see any results. You got to be under authority to have authority. Yeah. If I tell somebody, I say, hey, I want you to do this, or I want you to preach, and I say, I want you to preach on this, and they preach on something else, they're not under authority. And as a result of that, you don't see any change in the people. Are you following what I'm saying? Because the Holy Spirit's not going to back that. He's going to back God. See, I am the chief shepherd in this house. I'm the under shepherd to Jesus. And I have the authority in this house to determine what goes on in it. That's not an ego trip. That is authority. Say amen. When you walk in your house, you have authority. Devils cannot run loose in your house. You have authority. But you can't cast out a devil if, okay. Look at James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves what? Therefore to God. what else? Resist the devil, and what will he do? But what's the first word? What's the first word? Submit. See, submit, submit. You got to submit. In the kingdom, you can't get anything done unless you submit. See, you can't, your kingdom doesn't allow that. It's interesting how the devil is rebellious, but he doesn't tolerate any rebellion. He does not tolerate not one bit from his demons, not one bit. But he is a chief of rebellion. So, authority, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. All right. Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Keep going. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment of with promise. Watch this. That it may be well with you and thou mayest live, how long? Long on the earth. So authority is God's plan to protect his people. And Jesus said, I always do what I see my father do. And he said, when they came to take him, he said, nobody can lay hands on me unless the Father allowed it. And the only reason they could get him, because he was obedient. The Bible says he was obedient all the way to the cross. That's found in Hebrews in chapter, I want to show you that one. It's found in Hebrews chapter, that's right, Hebrews chapter, no, I had it down here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Okay? And he says that, and being found and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, watch this, that submission, and became obedient unto what? Death. Even what? The death on the cross. So notice who he was. His head was God. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. So God the Father was his head. So the Father said, go to the cross. Now, the Bible says, he said, Father, if there be any way, let this what? Let this cup pass from me. Why? Because he regretted having to be not crucified, having to be separated from the Father. That's what he didn't want. It wasn't the pain that he was trying to get around. He was trying to get around the separation because he had never been separated from his Father. Isn't that powerful? But notice he was obedient. See, he had to tell them, you can't do anything to me unless the Father allowed it. So when you're walking in obedience, you trust God completely, because it may look like the things are coming against you, but you just stay there because God's going to turn it around because you're obedient to God. You're obedient. Say amen to that. Now, if you get in this thing of mad, want revenge, want to talk, what have you just done? You've just stepped out of love. And when you stepped out of love, you stepped out of the commandment. Now you're exposed. Now you got to repent and get back up under that covering and keep going. Say amen to that. So, I'm going to just show you a couple of things. And so, Ephesians tells you where you are. And he says in Ephesians chapter 1, glory to God. Do I have time to do this? okay. The word authority in the Greek is the word exousia. Exousia. And let me just give you that right quick. Luke chapter 19. All right. And I don't know. He said, it's not 19. Luke chapter 11. 11, yeah. That's not it either. It's 19. Tread on, and they return 19 and verse Chapter 10. Okay. All right, look what he said in verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy what? Name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you what? Power. Now see that word power? Put in your Bible authority. That's authority right there. Okay? To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be any means hurt you. So what did we do with the people at Lake of Pulaski when they came and told me, said, Pastor, you know, we got the drug dealers taking over our block. What are you going to do about it? I said, okay. I said, get in the circle and pray. Okay. I got them in the circle. We began to pray. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, get the bottle of oil, bless the oil, tell them to take it and pour it down the middle of the street. Now, where did those orders come from? Okay, let's say headquarters, okay? They came from headquarters, see, because I need to get the word of the kingdom in terms of what to do about that situation, all right? And you just ask him and he'll give you the word. So once I got the word, she carried it out. And when she carried it out, she came back 3 or 4 days later and said, Pastor, guess what? Well, I knew what, because the word won't return void. You get the word of the kingdom and act on that word. You can go about your business because it's not coming back void. Say amen to that. So what happened? We were all under authority. I came under God's authority, under Jesus' authority. Look at Colossians, please, in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, and look at verse 18, praise God, I think it is. All right? And he is the head of the what? Body. What is the body? The church. Okay? So who's the head?
Jesus.
What are we?
The body.
Can the head do things in the earth without the body?
No.
Nope. Can the body do things in the earth without the head?
No.
Technically, no, because we are supposed to be under the head. Say amen to that.
Amen.
I mean, you don't go downtown and say, I saw Bill Winston's head downtown that tonight. No, the body is with the head. Okay? All right, now, if you look at this, okay, all right? Okay, dealing with the devil, all right? I'm not going to go to some of this. I got to skip. Dealing with the devil. By the way, I think I want to, if you buy the tape tonight, you can buy it. With that teaching I just did on the blessing, you can buy that with that. We'll put that on there too. Okay. Now, all right. Now, dealing with the devil. All right. This is a book by Kenneth E. Hagin. I don't know whether you heard of Kenneth Hagin before, but he's going on to be with the Lord now. Called The Believer's Authority. Every now and then I come back to it because it's so good, so well written. But he talks about the fact that. In dealing with the devil, he said there was a time that he was praying, I guess, and as a result of that, he said that this little demon came in between he and Jesus was trying to talk with him about something, and this little demon came in between them and start yap, and he could not hear Jesus. Let's see, where is it? It's on here somewhere. But he couldn't hear Jesus. And he said to himself, I wonder if Jesus knows that this demon is blocking out his voice from being heard by me. Yap. And then he said, he wondered why Jesus didn't rebuke the demon and so he could hear what he was saying. So he waited for a few moments, but Jesus didn't take any action against the demon, and Jesus was still talking, but couldn't understand why he was saying and not rebuking this devil. And he said he was given instructions concerning devils and demons and how to exercise authority over them. And he said, I thought for myself, doesn't the Lord know that I'm not hearing what he's wanting me to hear? Say, he's just talking just like I can hear it. And I need to hear. And he said, I'm missing this thing. And he said, I panicked. And he said, because I got desperate, I cried out. I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you, stop. He said, the minute I said that, this little demon hit the floor like a sack of salt, and a black cloud that was over him disappeared, and the demon lay there trembling, whimpering, and whining like a little pup. And he wouldn't look at me. Not only shut up, he said, not only shut up, but get out of here in the name of Jesus. And he said, I command it, and he ran off. And the Lord knew exactly what was in my mind. I was thinking, and why didn't he do something about this spirit? And why did he permit it? And Jesus looked at me and said, if you hadn't done something about that spirit, I couldn't have. And that's when he said, Lord, you mean you wouldn't have? He said, nope, I couldn't have. Now, what I'm saying here is it's not up to him. It's up to you. You have been given and delegated the authority. You take care of your jurisdiction. You take care of your house. Come on, you take care. Wherever that spirit is popping his head up and he's yapping and causing, oh God, you bind him. Whatever you bind, say amen to that. No, here's one more thing. I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 6 again. And Ephesians chapter 6, I want to cover one more thing because I think people get the wrong idea. Now, this is coupled with Ephesians chapter 1. Let me show you how I'm going to run through this. He says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wild against the wiles, stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, what we have to make sure is that this particular scripture is read with the mindset of the first chapter and second chapter of Ephesians. Now, here's what it said in the first chapter, all right? He says, now, I'm not going to start at verse 16, which I'd like to start at, but I'm going to save time. He says, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Watch this. Far above all principality and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now here is Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. Now watch this, watch this, watch this. Look at chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Now, wait. Where is Christ? Verse 21 of chapter 1. Far above all principality and power. Where are we? Verse, we are far above it. Now, here's what I'm saying. This wrestle against flesh and blood, this is not describing how powerful the devil is. That's not that scripture. That's not what that scripture is trying to describe. And people miss it. And because they miss it, they think they have to wrestle with him. He's already defeated. You are already seated. Say amen. Far above. Far above. See, if you think you have to wrestle, you will. I better come over here. If you think You have to struggle with a demon. You will, because God will allow what you'll allow. He will not pull back on that. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is it. Try it. You think you're supposed to be broke? Watch, he'll let you be broke. If you think you're supposed to struggle with the demon, watch, you'll struggle with it. Now come on over here and look how Jesus dealt with him. Come on over here to Matthew, Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And the way those demons treated Jesus, they supposed to be treating you. Because he's in you. And he said, even the things you do, that I did, you're going to do greater. He didn't plan for you to stand there all day trying to cast the devil out. Listen, Jesus didn't do that. See, you got to go back to the book, because if you don't go back to the book, you'll be teaching something the book didn't say. The Bible said the whole counsel of God, not half of it. Here's when Jesus got over to the other side, and look what happened here. And this man, this demoniac man, came out with in broken chains and all of that stuff. And verse 5, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, you torment me not. And he said it to him, what is your name? He said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion. And he answered, because we are many. And besought him much that he would not send him out of that country. And there was there nigh into the mountains a great herd of swines feeding, glory to God. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine. Please don't throw us out of this country. I'm just telling you what the demon said. Please, does that sound like you struggling with a devil? No, and get it out of your mind. And let me tell you where it's been. It's been in your mind and not in your spirit, because you've seen somebody else struggle with him. You think you got to struggle with him. That is not scripture. You are far above all principalities and powers. And I'm going to tell you, because I've been in the military, and a general comes in that office and in that room with a bunch of privates. Them privates come up, and boy, they don't move, man. Why? Because he's far above. And I'm telling you, you are seated with God in heavenly places. And you got so much authority on you, man. Them demons, when they know you got that kind of authority, man, them demons are trying to hide from you. They're trying to do everything, because you walking in that room with a badge of authority on, saying, I'm up here, this is my jurisdiction, every demon in here, get up and get out of here. Now give God praise, because we're going to take some authority here. If you're here, you need to be saved. You want to get you saved. Jesus saves. And I want to let you know right now, God loves you. And that's why you came here today. But I want to let you know, you don't have to leave here like you came. God's got a blessing for you. God's going to take you.